sound everything good from here?
All good. Is everything good on my end? I got these perfect. AirPods, except they're not working. So I got these old ass headphones from the airport.
No, it's all good.
Hey, let's do it. All right. I'm gonna welcome on my next guest. We got a very special guest. We got Chargers legend and Terps legend, Mr. Sean Merriman. Sean, is everything going for you?
Doing well, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. I can't complain. It's raining here in DC right now. The weather's been all over the place, but hopefully we're moving on soon. How's everything with you?
It's good. I'm actually my place here in Las Vegas. So, you know, I spend a lot more time here now. And, you know, obviously with the Fight League, with Lights Out Extreme Fighting, looking to get some things going up here soon.
That's awesome. Is it sort of back to normal yet? Or are people still kind of hesitant?
We was in the pandemic for so long. I mean, it's going to take a while for us all to get back to normal. But I think it's the more vaccines that are rolled out, the more people are feeling comfortable. We'll get back to that point.
Have you been to Allegiant Stadium yet, or is it still kind of closed off to the public?
I haven't been there, but if I go there, I'm sure I can get two sacks still.
So I want to ask your thoughts on the offseason a little bit. We kind of had the free agency open up last week. A lot of money, a lot of teams, they're talking about how there's going to have to move some money around. I think it's all BS. I think they can pay the guys as much as they want to. Any moves kind of stuck out to you that you're excited to see next year?
I'm excited to see what Carson Wentz is going to do. I think that, to me, so far, that's been the biggest surprise, because he's going to a Colts team, right? That one of the best offensive lines in football. They got, Darius Leonard on defense, and they got, Buckner, and, they have a talented defense as well. So what is that going to happen? You know, what's going to happen there when you got a team built in? And my former teammate who was there in Phillip Rivers, he played well. He played well because they blocked for him and they played great defense. So I'm interested to see what Carson Wentz getting out of that situation in Philly, because I'm sure at some point in time it had to start wearing on him, just the back and forth with Jalen Hurts, who's going to start and what's going to happen. And now you get a chance to start off with a clean slate and with a great team.
Yeah. And then with your former team, the Chargers, at what point in the year did Justin Herbert outperform your expectations?
It was, you know what, he really didn't, right? So what happened was during the combine, when he was about to get drafted, I put out a tweet and said, and I saw him kind of moving around and I saw him paying attention. I also watched him in the championship game when he came out of college too. I was there. I went to the game. And I was like, this guy's a stud. Like, he's next level. And if he was able to get into the right NFL system, he's going to blossom. So he did just that. And I don't even think that we've seen a smidget of what Justin Herbert's going to be able to do here soon. This upcoming year, I think he's going to make a huge leap.
Do you think Anthony Lynn got the short end of the stick?
No, look, we all understand as players, coaches, right? In the National Football League, you have to perform. And if you don't perform, you know, at some point in time, they're going to move you. And I don't care if you're a star player that's not performing anymore, or you wasn't that good of a player, you're not performing. It's a performance-based business. And anytime you get an opportunity with a team like he's had, I mean, look, I know Justin Herbert wasn't there, but you still had Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, Melvin Ingram, Joey Bosa. You still had a team there. So you got to go out and win football games, because you're dealing with some great talent.
What about on the defensive side? I don't think they brought Melvin Ingram back. What do you expect next year?
They still have a really good defense, right? I'm excited for them. They got Kenneth Murray, the young rookie going into his second year. Yeah. Joey Bosa, they got guys there. That's not the issue. I think that it was more personnel. It's more of coaching and putting guys in position to go make plays than it was the guys actually going out being able to get it done.
Yeah. And where do you want to see them address with the first round pick later in the month?
You know what? You have one of the best and young quarterbacks in the game. I would like to see them go, maybe not early in the first round, but start attacking that offensive line. You got to beef up that offensive line as much as possible, because what happened was, especially later on during the year when guys started to get hurt and going down, now your second string drops off completely from the talent on the first string. Yeah. You can't have that, especially in the NFL, and especially if you're trying to play deep in the playoff, because guys are going to get injured. So you can't have that level of a talent drop off from your first string to the second string going into the season.
Interesting. And then since I know you're a DMV guy, what were your thoughts on Washington season?
Look, one thing I was kind of disappointed, I thought that Alex Smith was going to have a better and a more opportunity from him making the comeback that he did. Yeah. I played for Coach Ron Rivera. Ron Rivera is a not only a great coach, but he's a great person.
Yeah.
And he's a player's coach. And so anytime you're doing something wrong there, it's a problem. So I know they had to make a move at quarterback. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. You know, again, we just talked about the Colts, but they have probably the Washington football team has the best defensive line in football, in my opinion. You know, when you're looking at across the board. So when you got somebody like that and you got Chase Young and these guys who can get after the quarterback, he's going to get you the ball back, right? They're going to give you great field position. So now you have to get a quarterback this and draft right this time or bring in the right situation. But I thought they made a hell of a move of bringing Ryan Fitzpatrick, my former teammate in it. Yeah. I think that's right on the money because he can go out and win football games for you right now.
Yeah. I have a question. Who does Chase Young remind you of?
You know, it's funny. He's from Maryland, and I watched him since high school. One of his teachers while he was in high school was my football coach. And so I was hearing about him since he was a sophomore and junior in high school. I would say me. I mean, it's, you know, he's a little bit of a defensive lineman than he is a stand-up outside linebacker. But when you talk about tenacity, when you talk about getting after the quarterback, you know, this guy has a relentless motor. And let's put the talent, you know, to the side. I mean, he's one of the most gifted guys. You see him in person, he like, man, this guy is built, right? He's jacked. And he looks the part. He looks like a football player was put together, right? But let's put in the hustle, the relentlessness. The guy goes out there and he flat out gets after it. And if you watch him, how he chased the quarterback, he missed the first, second time, he'll chase the guy 20, 30 yards down the field. And I think those are the plays that really define you at the end of the day. Your talent's going to speak for itself. But when you're able to play at that high level with that motor, it really shows who you are.
Yeah, so I want to ask you about your career a little bit. How'd you get the nickname Lights Out?
Well, look, my sophomore year at Frederick Douglass High School in Maryland, when I grew up in Prince George County, I knocked out four kids in one game, right? And so right after the game, I had about 15 or 20 students running up to me, and they said, man, you knocked those guys' lights out. And I was like, yeah, call me Lights Out. So that name stuck with me all the way through high school and then again through college. Now, you got to go and earn it. It's not like one of those names you get it and then you kind of walk off and people call you Lights Out. Like, you have to go out and earn it. But, yeah, my sophomore year at Frederick Douglass High School, that Lights Out name was born.
Did you always want to be a Terp, or were they just the best opportunity for you?
No, I always wanted to be a Terp. I had offers probably from everywhere in the college, every college in the nation. And what really got me there is who's the head coach there, Mike Loxley. He recruited me. I actually went to a summer camp my sophomore year at Maryland. It was a 3-day camp where you have some of the best players come from all over the state of Maryland to this 3-day camp. And I went and just killed it, right? I mean, I performed. I moved up to the seniors, even though I was a sophomore. When I was walking off the field, they told me, the coaches, Vanderlyn and Loxley and everybody at the time, they said, hey, we're gonna be back. We're gonna offer you. And this is my sophomore year. So I knew that I wanted to go. I wanted to stay home. That was number one for me because my high school coaches, my family, and my friends, I wanted them all to have an opportunity to come and see me play. And I knew that the only way to do that is to stay home, which, you know, all the kids should do that because we all know the best talent come from that D.C., Maryland, Virginia area.
Yeah. What kind of job do you think Loxley's done so far? He's bringing in everybody. I know he got the kid to flip from LSU. What do you think he's done so far?
He's, you know, and I'll say it again, Mike Loxley is the best recruiter in the country. And what makes him the best is he'll tell you exactly how it is. You know, it's no BS. It's no beating around the bush with Lox. He means what he's saying. You can look at him as a uncle figure, a father figure, an older brother, however you want to look at it, because coming from especially areas that I grew up in Prince George's County, you needed that. You needed someone that had your back, someone that was going to tell you like it is and be upfront with you because he, you know, he set the tone for things you're going to have to deal with in your life.
Yeah. I have a question. What was your draft process like?
It was interesting, right? Because, you know, I came out as a junior. And so, you know, I sent in my information to the NFL. And what happens is you get these draft grades come back where they think you're going to land at. So I knew I was going to go somewhere in the first round because the draft grade came back as the first round. I didn't know if it was going to be top five or top 10, top 15. I didn't know, but I knew it was going to land somewhere. And I didn't want to go to the draft. I saw that just recently. I think it was who's the quarterback from Clemson? The quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, he is going to stay back home and watch with his family. And that's what I did. I wanted to be in the comfort of my own home. and I rented a big house in Maryland. And it was cool because all my coaches and my family and everybody, my teachers, everybody came there for the draft. And we're watching it on ESPN, and they called my name. Well, Marty Schottenheimer had called me first. He said, "Hey, are you ready to be a San Diego Charger?" And I said, "Yeah, are you guys ready to pick me? Because I'm ready to go." And by the time I hung up the phone, my name popped up on the bottom of the ticker, and it was a day that I'll never forget.
And I have a question. Can you talk about Marty Schottenheimer? I know he recently passed away. Can you talk about what kind of coach he was, what kind of man he was?
You know what? I love Marty for many different reasons. He was a great coach. I mean, we all know that. His record proved that. If you look over Marty Schottenheimer's career, look at the players he's coached and careers he's made by coaching them. But one of the things that I love most about Marty was just the person he was. And I'll give you a prime example. He was always harder. I mean, he'll come and we'll be in training camp and we might have back-to-back two-a-day practices. And he'll come and tap me on the back and say, "Hey, take this drill off. You know, you've been working hard, been practicing hard." And I'm thinking like, man, he really likes me. He's taking it easy on me. And then the very next day, in the morning, when we start practice, he'll line me up in Oklahoma drills against one of the offensive linemen. And so he was just a loving coach, a tough coach. I remember having a big hit against Priest Holmes my rookie year. And I'm celebrating. I'm excited. And I remember going over to the sideline, and Marty Schottenheimer saw me celebrating and grabbed me by the face mask. He said, "Hey, don't forget that this guy's family and his friends are watching." Right. This is when I was celebrating. Yeah. So this was who Marty Schottenheimer was, and this kind of person he was and coach he was. And I miss him a whole lot.
Yeah. And I have a question. Did you kind of, was it an easy adjustment before you get into the NFL from Maryland, or did it take a little bit of time?
It actually, to be quite honest, I mean, the speed was faster in the NFL. Guys are a lot more smarter because they learn how to watch film. So all those things are hard, taking care of your body because it's a long season. So those are the things that are the hardest. The easier part was that when you get in the NFL, they want you to make plays. It's not so much always about the system. If you're a pass rusher, your job is to go get the quarterback. And, I still have responsibilities. Obviously, I dropped in coverage, but, I played for a great defensive coordinator in Wade Phillips. Wade Phillips put me in positions to, hey, this is what you do best. We want you to go get the quarterback. That's what we're paying you to do. So that part of it was easy. That's why I jumped out my rookie year and had the amount of sacks and the production that I did, because the game at that point became very easy to me.
I have a question. Who's the toughest quarterback you ever had to sack?
I played against Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Those guys, they're great quarterbacks. Tom Brady being the greatest and Peyton Manning, I think, was right up there.
Yeah.
But when you talk about tackling guys and getting them to the ground, two guys come to mind. First of all was Steve McNair. Steve McNair was so damn strong and so powerful. I remember, having him fully wrapped up and him going to the ground and him throwing a 30-yard pass right before his knee hit the ground, and I had him fully. He had, it was no way anybody else completing that pass. And the second person was Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger was the hardest because, he was big and he moved a lot and he was slippery. And he was able to just be mobile enough to get out the pocket. He was a lot different than going against Tom Brady. He was a lot different than going against Peyton Manning because those guys wasn't as mobile. They can get away, but Steve McNair, Ben Roethlisberger, those guys were extremely mobile.
And I just have a couple more questions for you. What's your favorite Phil Rivers story? Because I know you can tell any of them because he doesn't curse. So,
yeah. Well, you know what? The my favorite Phil story is he can walk. Now, like a specific walk, and I walk kind of with a waddle and stuff like that. And so I used to break down the team before every game. And what he would do is if I was late to the huddle or whatever, he'll walk over to the huddle like he was going to be the one breaking it down. And I would always start and say, "Let's get it. Let's start the breakdown." And I would hear, just walking down the hallway, if I'm turning the corner, I would hear Phillip Rivers and watch him walking like me, singing, "Let's get it. Let's get it. So he would he best imitation of anybody that I know, because he paid attention. He paid attention to every single thing you did, your movements, your mannerisms, the things you said. If there were a hot record or a hip hop album, a single that was playing on the radio, and you and the linebackers or the DBs or the defense, we were singing it enough, he would pick up on the lyrics and start reciting it himself. It was just, he was always paying attention. So, man, it was great playing with Phil.
A question: do you see him coaching long term, or do you expect him in the booth soon?
Oh no, 100% coaching. He's maybe another 10 years I see him in the booth, but right now Philip he's too active, he's too passionate to sit in the booth. I think that he needs to get the coaching out of the system before he makes his way to the booth, and they're going to have to pay him a lot of money to go and do that, because he's going to be great at it.
He's going to want more than Breeze too after that. So I wanted to ask you about Lights X. I know you get the podcast, I know you get the apparel, I know you kind of get into mixed martial arts. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so Lights Out Extreme Fighting in my MMA league. We are up on Fox Sports right now. Well, since the pandemic, we all got shut down, but we should be started back here somewhere in May or June. So it's been cool because, you know, one thing, we specialize in bringing these former athletes, former NFL guys, former rugby. We have a former track star that's now training MMA. And what's happening over the next 12 to 24 months is athletes who get done in a sport and still looking to go out and compete. And, you know, we just been providing a platform for them. And, you know, obviously the Lights Out apparel, the match, and my Lights Out podcast on Fox Sports Radio and iHeart, you guys can download it anywhere. So it's, you know, with me, it's really about building this brand. You know, I spent, you know, majority of my adult life building this. Is something I believe in. I've been called Lights Out since I was 16 years old. And now it's turning to all these things that at 16, I didn't see coming. But I stay focused, stay with it. And I got a great team around me. And, you know, I got great partners and great employees and great people that support what I'm doing. And we're only looking to grow.
That's awesome. Who are some of the guys maybe getting close to the end of maybe their football or basketball careers that you would like to see them in the ring?
You know, it's funny. So you look at guys, I would say defensive backs. You can see what's the cornerback who's always fighting from the Ravens? Marcus Peters. Yeah. I think guys like that, if they ever got serious with it, they can, you know, they can have a career in MMA. You know, and there's several other guys who are, you know, I see like Simeon Rice and Brian Cushing and all these guys that are training in combat sports that are done playing. So you're going to see some here over the next, you know, few months when we make an announcement of guys that have notable names. People watch them on the field and watch them on a track and watch them playing, playing rugby, that are going to be fighting in MMA. It's going to happen.
I got a name for you. I don't know if you reached out, but it would be awesome. And people big, you get Nene out there. Nene would mess some dudes up. Him, maybe Steven Adams in a couple years. Big, I'd pay for that.
Tell him hit me up. You know, that's how guys. Guys know the cool thing is that, you know, I promoted it enough and I'm out there about it enough and people know about it enough to reach out and say, hey man, I'm thinking about fighting. You know, so we get a lot of guys that's kind of on the cuffs of trying to really figure out what they want to do. And as soon as they figure out what they want to do, football players and rugby guys, you already have a background in competing. You're strong, you're explosive, you're coordinated. And now you just learn the craft of mixed martial arts and you can actually do well in this industry.
Yeah. Well, that's really the question I really have for you. How can people find you on social media, keep up with you, and I can link all your stuff to when I post it?
Yeah, follow me at Sean Merriman on all of them. I'm even on TikTok now at Sean Merriman. And then Lights Out XF on Instagram and Lights Out XF on Twitter as well. So lightsoutxf.com is the website for our future events coming up.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for taking the time today to chat. I really appreciate it.
You got it, man. Same here.